I'm Karen Hartglass. You're listening to It's All About Food, and thank you for joining me. We have an important show today. I'm sure many of you are struggling and reeling from all of the violent activity that's going on in the United States and all around the world, especially these last few weeks. And I want to talk about things that are going on in this world that are good, and the work that is being done by amazing activists that are incredible. And I really want to focus on getting the violence out of our own lives and how we do that. And some of it has to do with what's on our plate. So let's just jump right in. My first guest is Amy Jean Davis, an animal rights activist, spokesperson for the SAVE movement, and the founder of LA Animal Save, the Los Angeles chapter of the global SAVE movement. Davis graduated Purdue University in 2004 after having become a vegan in 2002 and started an animal sanctuary in Los Angeles. And in 2015, she completed her certificate in plant-based nutrition from eCornell. And in 2016, Amy founded LA Animal Save, which is now the largest chapter of more than 600 SAVE groups worldwide. Amy also works with her partner, filmmaker Sean Monson of Earthlings and Unity Films, creating films and other media for animal rights movement. Originally from a small town in Indiana, Amy came to Los Angeles in 2008 as a top 24 finalist on season 7 of American Idol. Amy, thanks for joining me today.
Hi, Karen. It's a real pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, so lots of awful things are going on. And I think, at least from my point of view, the things that have been going on with the white supremacist terrorists in our country are terrible. But what the point that I try and make very often is we allow so much violence to go on when it comes to food and sentient animals, innocent animals. And so there's this irony going on where some violence just seems every day and okay, but it isn't. And as long as we allow for that, I think the violence will only get worse all around us. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, well, I have a couple responses to that. We live in a society that has this foundation of institutionalized violence, and it's against the most vulnerable beings, the animals. Their voices are not heard. They don't have any rights. And so we have this system of total institutionalized violence, not just because we slaughter animals, but also the way that we treat them with the body mutilations on the farms, whether it's a factory farm or a small farm, and the living conditions, the transportation processes, everything about farming for animals is abhorrent and abusive. And yet we teach our children from a very young age that you know, we love animals. And if you walk through the book section, the children's book section of any store, you'll see that most of the books are about animals. And we don't just make books about dogs and cats and horses. We have so many books about pigs and cows and chickens. And yet we turn around and we hand these children tortured body parts to eat. And so there's a major problem going on at the very core of our society, what we put in our mouths, and everybody has to eat. So this is an issue this is a reality that affects everyone. And we're taught from a very young age, kill and also love some animals, which isn't possible. So it's a twisting of the mind and of the heart. And then also, you know, love and protect some animals such as dogs and cats. And we need to get at the core of these issues to start teaching our children that as long as someone can suffer, meaning they're sentient, they can feel pain, they can feel love, as long as they can suffer and feel those kinds of things, they should be protected. And what is a result of that is we could have a foundation of institutionalized compassion. We could have a system that doesn't send the wrong messages to children from the very beginning, trying to essentially snuff out their sense of compassion. Instead, we have a society that understands if someone can suffer, we protect them. And there's no mixed message. Now, the other thing I want to mention real quick is that I went to a screening of a documentary called Newtown, and it was about the Sandy Hook. It's about the Sandy Hook massacre. Mm-hmm. And the filmmakers were there to do a Q&A at the end. And somebody asked a question, and they answered about animal cruelty and the link. And they said, yes, there is a link between animal cruelty at a young age and then those children growing up to commit acts of violence on other humans. Yet, still, no one is talking about how we as parents are forcing our children into these acts of violence before they even know what's happening.
Some might call it child abuse.
I would call it child abuse. Yep. Not only for the psychological and emotional abuse that's happening, but also for the physical abuse. When heart disease is our number one killer and it shows up in every 10-year-old in this country who's eating the standard American diet, that's child abuse on multiple levels.
I agree with you. Now, let's talk about the SAVE movement. Can you tell me about that?
Yes. Now, the SAVE movement is a global network of activists. And we started out as a group called Toronto Pig Save. Anita Kreins is our founder. And she started this group off in around 2010, holding vigils outside slaughterhouses because she happened upon a transportation truck full of pigs one day when she was out walking her newly adopted dog, Mr. Bean. So she started this off in Toronto in 2010. It has since grown. Now it's global. And not only do we have the animal save movement part, we also have climate save movement and we have health save movement. As you know, eating animals causes so many global crises. I mean, just so many different problems, from the environmental impact, the animal cruelty impact, the oppression of factory farm and slaughterhouse workers, to world hunger, species extinction, and of course, causing most of our top reasons of disability and death in this country and others. And so since it affects so many things and creates so many problems, we now have different sections of the SAVE movement to try to raise awareness, educate the people, and get people to be active, not only for the animals, but for their own health and for the planet.
I remember first hearing about Toronto Pig Save and everything that they were doing. I didn't realize that they were the first in the SAVE movement and the seed to the entire SAVE movement. That's very exciting to hear.
Yeah, it really launched in 2015 when Anita was actually arrested for giving water to pigs outside of a slaughterhouse. And she was on trial for 2 years. And I really believe that the animal agriculture industry was hoping that this trial would really scare the rest of the activists away from speaking up for animals and bearing witness to them. But it had a completely opposite effect, exploded the whole SAVE movement. And now I actually think that we have over 700 groups now. It's growing so fast that I think we have over 700 groups now globally. And Anita definitely is at the very beginning of it.
I'm just sickened by what can happen in our society when someone is trying to do something with great compassion, give someone suffering some water to drink, and how it blew up into this nightmare. And fortunately, a lot of good has come out of it. And you know, we see the same thing now with people trying to get into the country from our southern borders. And there are compassionate people who want to leave them water and give them water, and they're arrested. So what we do to animals, we do to people, and it's all a disaster. But I'm very encouraged to hear that more people are realizing that they need to get active and make all of this, what's going on, make us aware of it and fight it every way that we can, because I think that we're really meant to be good. And maybe it's this subliminal subconscious kind of training that we get as a youngster that makes us end up being so confused that we do horrible things as an adult. I can't explain it.
The ability for the animal ag industry, meat, dairy, and also the medical and the pharmaceutical industries and the government all working together, they are really well equipped to completely and utterly brainwash the people to where they are speaking up, defending animal cruelty, and defending the degradation of the planet, and defending oppression against low-income neighborhoods, defending food deserts, and they don't even know why. So we do have a large villain here, and it's a complicated one, and it's a powerful one, but bringing people to the vigils that we hold in the SAVE movement, when we stand outside the slaughterhouses and stop the trucks before they go in and offer those animals water, and we see them, when we raise awareness and bear witness like this, it reactivates what I believe everyone has, this natural sense of compassion. They see these animals. They see that they're no different from our dogs and cats. They see that these animals do not want to die. And they get reconnected with their natural sense of compassion. And then they want to say, you know what? I am not going to be a part of this anymore. And beyond that, I am going to do something to help raise awareness also in whatever my strengths are. Because everybody has their different strengths when it comes to activism. And bearing witness seems to activate a lot of people.
Now, you founded LA Animal Save. Can you tell us some of the events that you've been involved with?
Sure. With LA Animal Save, we have held a vigil almost every single week outside of a large pig slaughterhouse in downtown Los Angeles. And we usually get around 100 people out there every week. And we have a partnership with the local police department to uphold our right to bear witness. And so each truck stops for a few minutes. We give the water and we take pictures and video, and we create as peaceful and loving of a surrounding and atmosphere as we can for these animals. And we share their faces and their stories on social media. And so we've been doing this every week at the pig slaughterhouse. We go every other week to a cow slaughterhouse in the area, and every other week to a chicken slaughterhouse in the area. And we also just started a fur save group, and we are holding monthly vigils in Beverly Hills at the stores that still sell fur. Even though Los Angeles is now a fur-free city, that law won't actually take into effect for another, a year or so. But we still want to raise awareness to the passersby that fur is not fashion. So there's a lot of these vigils that we hold all of the time. And we also work in partnership with other animal rights groups and help promote their events, such as Anonymous for the Voiceless with their Cubes of Truth. And so we try and work with all the other groups to build up this activist community, because we are the ones that are going to change the world, and we need to do it as soon as possible. These animals are suffering, people are suffering, and we have a limited amount of time left on the planet.
I'm wondering how you stay strong and stay sane amidst all of the violence that you see every week during these vigils.
Well, I won't lie, it is difficult. I do tell people, though, that I think I have an easier responsibility as an organizer of the vigils, because I'm there. I have a lot of our information that we put out, especially because vegans will bring their non-vegan friends and family members, and I want to make sure they're equipped with information on how to go vegan once they are impacted by seeing these animals. And so I have to take responsibility for these people and their safety. I'm interacting with the police officers and the truck drivers. And so I don't actually get a lot of opportunity to bear witness to the actual pigs myself. I see them, I hear them, I smell them. But I have so many things that I have to take care of that I have an easier job. I am amazed by the vigil attendees that come every week and give water to these animals and give these animals their love. And somehow they keep coming back every week. And I think a lot of it has to do with recognizing that it is an obligation that we have. When we know they're suffering, we come closer to it and we do something to try to help. And these people understand it's an obligation that they have. And they keep coming back. But people need to be careful. They have to have self-care. Because if we aren't fully charged and able to do the best that we can do, then others will suffer. So we have to take care of ourselves as well.
I'm curious about this relationship that your vigils have with the police. How has that started, and how are you able to successfully create this relationship that you have?
Well, I believe that part of it is because I have also received an education from this woman named Alison Armstrong, who studies human beings, men and women, and she figures out some of the instinctual ways that we communicate. And a lot of these instincts actually will trigger each other instead of, you know, working in partnership. So because I learned from her that there are certain things that we can do to actually prohibit quality communication, I believe I was able to communicate to these police officers that we are there not to do anything illegal, that we want to work with the police, that we want everybody to stay safe. We're not interested in property destruction. All we want to do is bear witness to these animals. And I believe that they heard me, and they felt respected by me. And that is part of what facilitated this partnership. And it happened really from the very beginning. And it's been awesome.
Do you know, have you changed the minds of any of those police officers?
Yes, at least two of them have gone vegan, and many of them have requested vegan information from one of our attendees, Brian Carroll, who's always out there leafleting. He talks to them every vigil about veganism. And so these police officers are curious. And like I said, two of them have gone vegan. One was already vegan. And I believe that will just continue to grow within the police department. And maybe one day they'll even let me come in and give a presentation on a plant-based diet and how that heals our body instead of hurts it.
That's fantastic. I'm thinking about Rip Esselstyn, who got his entire fire department crew to go vegan and wrote a book about it. And I would love to see something similar like that happen to a particular precinct where all the cops go vegan. Maybe that'll happen in LA.
Yeah, maybe. I know Rip. I've been to his Engine 2 immersion, and he is awesome. The whole Esselstyn family, they're just fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have children?
I have one. Yes, I do. Yeah. I have one little eight-month-old baby.
Oh, my goodness. Eight-month-old. So what's your plan for raising this child in this world?
Oh, boy.
In terms of veganism and food and being an activist and being strong to stand up against what's all around us.
Yeah. So it's such an overwhelming thought, you know, that I want to equip my baby with everything she needs to know to stand her ground and live her truth and understand why. And so obviously she's going to be fed a vegan diet. Right now she's still on breast milk mostly, but we have a little fun with cherry tomatoes and avocado. But I do plan on explaining to her why we don't eat animals, because I understand the pushback that she will be around, whether it's from friends and family or strangers or just all of the propaganda advertisements that are everywhere from the fast food industry or on TV. And I know that she's going to need to understand why we don't eat animals, so that if someone asks her, she knows why, instead of going, well, it's something that we, you know, we just don't do it in our house or in our family. That's not a good enough answer. I want her to understand that we are against injustices, whether it's against animals, people, or the planet. That's what we are. That's what we're against. And so that's why we completely opt out of it by living that vegan lifestyle.
When children are educated this way, what I've seen is that they become the most amazing, effective activists.
I hope so. I love watching the other kid activists like Genesis Butler out there doing their thing, raising awareness and not afraid to speak up against these giants, whether it's the industries or the giant that is the social norm, where so many people are brainwashed into thinking we love some animals but eat others, and they just can't understand how anybody would do, you know, something different than that which this, you know, society has collectively agreed is what we do. Well, my daughter will understand that we don't just go along with our culture. We question our culture, and we make sure that the things our culture has taught us are based in truth and based in kindness. And if not, we don't follow. We're just not going to do that.
Speaking of giants, can we go back to your vigils? So you have this respectful, wonderful relationship with the police, and you have wonderful volunteers, many of them continuing to come back to the vigils. What about the companies, the slaughterhouses that you are in front of, that you're protesting against? Have they ever come out and communicated, started any kind of dialogue, or tried to make you leave?
Great question. I'm so glad you brought this up, because it's my opportunity to talk about how the SAVE movement is love-based. So we do not engage in any kind of arguing or debating, and especially not conflict, whether it's with workers, with passersby, or you know, any kind of authority figure within the company. And so we've never, with the Pig Slaughterhouse, we've never had any direct communication. I will tell you, though, that they have, and I know this because the police officers have told me, the slaughterhouse has told the police officers that if we have any problems with any of the truck drivers not allowing us to bear witness and give water, that we can tell the police officers and they will talk to the Pig Slaughterhouse people and they'll take care of it. Mm. So even the Pig Slaughterhouse knows why we're there, and in a weird way is somewhat on our side. And the cow slaughterhouse, we've actually rescued numerous cows from the slaughterhouse. When a baby is born in the holding pen, the owner himself cannot bring himself to send that baby through the slaughter line. And so we've been able to actually rescue numerous mothers and babies from the cow slaughterhouse. And we've been in talks with that owner to try a plant-based diet, and we want to facilitate dialogue. We want to facilitate communication, because, you know, fighting isn't going to get us anywhere. We're already on two separate sides, vegan, not vegan, for kindness, for violence. So if we can facilitate a conversation, then that's where possibility lies. And we can do that without, you know, saying that what they're doing is okay. I'll never, ever say, oh, well, you know, you slaughter the animals a little better than other slaughterhouses. Absolutely not. You know, you can have a conversation with a non-vegan, but without diluting your stance. And, you know, a lot of people think, oh, how could you even talk to them? Well, because what would happen if we were able to convert a slaughterhouse owner to veganism and to see, make that connection? Big things will happen. And I know mm-hmm. we will get there, whether it's LA Animal Saves Group or one of the other save groups around the world. They will get through to these slaughterhouse owners and get that business gone or converted to something different. For example, you know, manufacturing plant-based meat.
Absolutely, which is just exploding.
Yes. Oh, it's so exciting. I'm so excited. And I even will actually send screenshots of these news stories to one of the slaughterhouse owners, and just to let him know, look, this is the future. You know, I don't want you to lose your job, lose your business. Convert now, you know, get out of the animal ag business, and you know, you'll be doing great things for the world.
There are already so many stories about people that have raised animals or slaughtered animals and had the veil lifted and mm-hmm. were very regretful for what they did, and some did it because it was in their family for traditions and it was just what they did and they didn't know how to do anything else. But I know deep down it can't feel good to anyone. It yep. can't. So what you're doing is chipping away and giving people an opportunity to make the right choice.
Yep. Yeah. To let them know that, you know, there is there is a good reason to be on the right side of history and to change your business. And just to think about how it doesn't feel good to kill animals. I work for another nonprofit, and I go into high schools and teach these kids about plant-based eating. And I ask them, how many of you think about the slaughterhouse workers? And do you know that they suffer, a lot of them suffer from PTSD? And I said, how many of you want to get a job in a slaughterhouse or a factory farm when you graduate high school? And nobody raises their hand. I say, well, you know, this is a job for a lot of people. Although according to the USDA, around 78% of that workforce are immigrants. And so a lot of them, you know, are taken advantage of as well, and not given medical compensation when they get hurt, even though it's a very dangerous job. And so we don't want to do this job, but we go and we buy the products, and we're, you know, we're funding that whole industry. So not only are the animals getting abused and murdered, but these human beings are taken advantage of as well. And they don't want to be there, but a lot of them only have so many choices on the jobs that they can take. And it's between this terrible job that they don't like, and it doesn't make them feel good on any level, or, you know, not being able to feed their family.
It's the worst of worst jobs.
Yep.
From so many points of view. Oh, okay. So where can people find out about the SAVE movement, start their own chapter, and get to work?
Absolutely. So they can go to thesavemovement.org, thesavemovement.org, and look up how to start their own group. If they're in the Los Angeles area, they can go to laanimalsave.org and get all the information on us. And our social media accounts are also connected there. And we have regular vigils every week and every month. And so we encourage everyone to come out and do it at least once. Come out and bear witness to the animals at least once, because it's actually easier to be at a vigil than to watch it on live stream or to see the pictures and video. Because when you're there, you actually get to relieve an animal's thirst for just a moment. And I'll tell you, it's worth it. It's worth it to come in down there and do that and say, I see you. You are not a faceless, nameless commodity or property. I see you. You're an individual, and I'll tell your story. And it impacts you. And a lot of people, most people, get active and want to do something more for the animals. So I encourage everyone to come down and bear witness at least once, even though it seems like it would be a very hard or very sad thing to do. You won't regret it.
Okay, before we go, I just want to lighten it up a little bit. You're in Los Angeles, which is a mecca for fantastic vegan food. Do you have some favorite places to go?
Well, Veggie Grill is my go-to. I remember when I gave birth to my daughter, the first meal I wanted was a Beyond Burger from Veggie Grill with the chopped cheese and the french fries. And so Veggie Grill is just one of my favorites, for sure. And then locally here, we also love Joy Cafe. And they're a, you know, all gluten-free, organic, amazing, you know, restaurant. So we love going there as well. But there's so many good places. It's like, how do you, can't really pick a favorite.
I know.
And
it depends
so
on your mood.
Grateful.
Yeah, there's so many choices.
Yeah.
The food is delicious. There's no reason. There's no reason for this violence and this cruelty.
No reason. No reason at all. And so, that, you know, on that note, I am excited about Burger King rolling out the Impossible Whopper, because I know how many cows that burger is going to save and how it's going to start to push that needle over towards, you know, the normalization of being vegan. And so many more people are going to go, I had no idea that I could eat food like this and be vegan, and I'll give it a try. So I'm very excited about that happening. That's happening, you know, in a couple of days. They're going to be in every Burger King nationwide.
Another thing to celebrate. Amy Jean Davis, thank you so much
for
everything that you're doing. I'm so glad you're on the planet doing all the work you're doing. Thank you so very much.
Thanks for having me.
Okay. All right, everybody, you need to visit the SAVE Movement at thesavemovement.org. Very excellent work. Very important.
I'm on the radio.